The Federal Reserve today and tomorrow could orchestrate a reduction in economic stimulus.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. As the Federal Reserve meets today and tomorrow to talk about tapering the stimulus, the financial word of the year, tapering, is getting worn out. So let's try it this way. The Fed's extraordinary bond buying program has been going on like this. If Fed policymakers decide there are enough signs of life in the U.S. economy, they won't bring their bond buying down to this. Instead, the tapering, that word again, will be more gradual. Maybe something like this. Economists say stock and bond markets have already compensated for a modest reduction in stimulus, but it will have a Wagnerian effect heard around the world. That includes emerging market countries, where currencies have been falling, driving up the cost of imports, and in Europe, says James Knightley, senior international economist at ING in London.
If we start to see the U.S. monetary policy moving away from stimulus, then that leads to expectations that eventually the Federal Reserve will start to raise interest rates. So that could make the U.S. dollar come under upward pressure. And therefore, if that's under upward pressure, then it means weaker European currencies. So that actually does have a positive impact on Europe because it means that Europe becomes more competitive on the international stage.
The Fed doesn't really have an international mandate. It's very vigilant about inflation here at home, although the government reported this morning that inflation at the retail level rose just a tenth percent in August. Let's bring in John Sylvia, Wells Fargo's chief economist, for that. Morning, John.
Good morning, sir.
So are you expecting the Federal Reserve to say this week that it's finally happening, they'll buy fewer bonds?
Yes, I do. Probably our estimate's about $10 billion, mostly U.S. Treasuries. At this point, that's mostly discounted in the marketplace, which means that the market's already sort of guessed that's the number. If the Fed's more aggressive, like $15 billion, I think the bond market's not going to like that, neither will the stock market. And I think the housing market may take it bad if they start not buying mortgage-backed securities. So there's a very strong expectation, $10 billion treasuries, but something else would surprise the marketplace.
I'm doing the math right now. $10 billion would be cutting their bond buying by about a sixth, I think.
That's right, David, and it would fit in with trying to finish by June of 2014.
Now, Fed Chairman Bernanke will have a news conference at the end of the two-day meeting. That'll be tomorrow. What should we ask them?
Well, I think the big question is, hey, why are you starting to taper with the inflation number still so low? We saw today the consumer price index came in and, you know, it's only running about 1.5% year over year. So it seems to be a disconnect. Hey, wait a minute. You know, your inflation target's 2%. Inflation's 1.5%. Why are you tapering?
John Sylvia at Wells Fargo, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Serious video gamers are likely to be up all night tonight playing Grand Theft Auto V, which is officially released today. The maker Rockstar hopes to cash in on the latest version of the crime action title. But games like Grand Theft Auto cost enormous amounts of money. The reported $260 million for this one is almost precisely the same amount spent on the most expensive movie ever made, Spider-Man 3. So what's the calculation on a game like this? Alex Schmidt reports.
The latest version of Grand Theft Auto feels like a gritty interactive film.
Leave Lester alone!
Oh, you and Lester together?
And it's as expensive as a blockbuster movie, too. Like so much coming out of Hollywood, this is a tentpole property that producers can count on. Only top game companies like Rockstar or Electronic Arts have giant franchises. Dan Hsu is editor-in-chief of GamesBeat. He says these titles give companies freedom to do other things.
So those will make up some of the other higher risk properties that may cost several millions to produce, but may not necessarily meet sales expectations.
GTA 5 is forecasted to pull in around $1 billion, leaving quite a bit of room for creative experimentation. I'm Alex Schmidt for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Watch old war movies and you tend to see heroes coming from small-town America, but today in the real world, many who enlist are seeking a way out of the inner city. They're now returning home facing not just the challenges of urban life and a sluggish economy, but also the unique difficulties faced by veterans. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports on a New York program to help returning vets thrive in the city.
Jamel Green wanted a better life than the troubled Brooklyn neighborhood of his childhood could offer.
Where I grew up was pretty rough.
He joined the Navy after 9/11. When he got back 5 years later, he started college with the goal of becoming an addiction counselor. But a mix-up with expected GI Bill educational funding triggered a vicious cycle.
I had to leave school. They left me with a bill of over $6,000. My car got repossessed. Everything just started crumbling. I went into a depression.
He looked for help, but like many veterans, got stuck in maddening bureaucratic runaround while debts piled up. Then he connected with a new program for vets like him.
And I only have 60% benefit. I'm only going to get 60%.
At Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, caseworkers meet to discuss problems New York vets face. Wall clocks in their office show the time in Baghdad and Kabul. Allison Chansky is part of the team guiding veterans through a large and confusing web.
A veteran shouldn't have to come back from serving and then have to educate him or herself on the 40,000 organizations in the country in order to get service. They should be able to come one place.
The program is among several now backed by the Robin Hood Foundation, a leading nonprofit with strong Wall Street ties. It's been fighting poverty in New York for a quarter century, but its $13 million effort targeting veterans is something new. Managing Director Eric Weingartner says the foundation saw the need as two wars brought waves of vets to the city.
We had seen an uptick in the number of veterans relying on services that were core to Robin Hood.
Its support for IAVA helped Jamel Green find a second part-time job, mental health counseling and assistance to get his educational funding back on track.
Wow, it was like a 100-pound weight off of you. It was a big relief.
That isn't all the weight he's carrying, so IAVA is still working with him and others. The goal is to ensure those who survived abroad make it through the urban battlefield back home. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And I'm not much for refrigerator magnet wisdom, but consider this. A University of Chicago social scientist has put everything he needed to know about personal finance onto a 4x6 card. Max your 401k, save 20% of your money, pay your credit card balance in full every month, pay attention to fees. It goes on, but it fits on one side of a card in normal handwriting. The last line of Professor Harold Pollack's index card, quote, promote social insurance programs to help people when things go wrong. There's a picture of Professor Pollack's 4x6 card at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.